Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are, y'all.
There's a mighty God.
We serve a mighty God.
Hey, y'all, don't we serve?
We serve a mighty God.
Holy is our God.
Oh,
more I see how sweet our Savior is. Do I have a witness out there? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
grateful for the peace of God? Anybody grateful for the provision of God? And let me tell you something, that is, there's nothing that can compare to the peace of God, to the love of God, to the provision of God. You can have all these things in the world, but I'm telling you, God is not in the equation. You will never experience his peace and his love. So we're going to do number 5. This song is my testimony. This song is called Give It Up. And personal for me, because I've had all these things and I was still going home broke. So today, like I do, I challenge you, whatever it is in your life that you need to surrender unto him, give it up. Ooh, yeah. I've been so many places in my life. I've been on stage, but not and I must admit that I felt like a star, living in big house, driving fancy cars. What is me if you know you? I'm giving it all.
I give it up. Y'all sing that with me. I'm giving it all to you. Everybody in this building, if you mean that today, hey, I give it up. Oh, yes, I will. I'm giving it all to you. If you really mean that today, God, I will. I give it up. Oh, yes, I'm giving it all to you. Bless the name of the Lord.
All right, y'all gonna have to group with me a little bit on this one. I hope it's all right. I know we in church, but the message didn't change. Here we go. This song says, while you're trying to figure it out, guess what? The Lord's already worked it out. Hey! Y'all like that groove? I remember when we had that good music in the 80s.
Trying.
It's gonna happen, y'all, Lord.
The Lord already worked it out.
Hey, yeah.
Oh, wow. You figure it out. Oh, the Lord already worked it out. Why are you trying to figure it out?
Singing that in your spirit, man, until it just marinates, till it gets there, till the stresses go away, till the worries go away. Oh, the Lord.
I love it, I love it.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Thank you. something, if you want something, you ask for it right now. In Jesus' name. Oh, oh, oh.
Thank you.
gone for me.
We got some church folk over here, and let me tell you, they were moving and rocking over here. How's that? Down, 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 down.
You know, you got a whole lot of closet jazz fans in the body of Christ. Right over that area right there.
Right in there, yeah. Appreciate it. How you doing, my friend?
I'm excellent and getting better.
I see. How many years ago was it that you came to do my show?
You really want me to say that on?
Yeah, you were thin and this. We both were.
Man, I just left the NBA with an injury. I started doing music. You called me and said, man, I can't figure out what you're doing, but come on, I'm going to give you an opportunity. That was 1989.
How about that? 1989. Okay, I've been on the air for 9 years.
And you had me on with Louis Farrakhan. And Farrakhan was playing violin, and I was playing piano.
That show.
Look at God.
That show. That was one of the most watched shows that we had done during that period. First of all, because Minister Farrakhan was Muslim, and, of course, we are Christian, and people were wondering, what's Louis Farrakhan going to do on this show? You know, I was, too. I was a little nervous about it. You know, I didn't know the man then. You know, he was talking a different language than we talked in Christianity. So guess what? We end up being the best of friends. I go to his mosque. I do whatever city he's in, and I'm available. I go there. So he knows the Bible more than most of us do.
Dr. Jones, you got the right name, Ambassador, because who better to live out of the box and merge different cultures together than you have over the years? We're so proud of that. And people that have been discovered on this show. You know, I had the opportunity to sign Yolanda Adams to my record label, and I said, Doctor, can you have her on the show? You brought Yolanda Adams to your show overnight, this girl took off. You have been one that has been the conduit for the talent and getting the talent to the people, and we honor you for it, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Not to be like that.
But thank you again. Thank you so much. This past a few months ago, you received a Stella Honors Award. You know, I got one of those. How'd you feel about that?
Man, if I would have stayed in the NBA, I would have been Hall of Fame as a basketball player. That little raggedy award they gave. But I got in the gospel, and God saved me, and I'm on a team that's undefeated, and I got the Gospel Music Hall of Fame Award. Come on now.
You got some fans right there, boy. You
have to sing all time? Brand new record, Full Tank, Volume 3. Full Tank. All of us need a full tank. Everyone has been driving in the car, and that low fuel light came on. Uh-huh. That'll change your ride.
You're right.
Stay with God, and you have a full tank in every area of your life.
How can they find you?
BenTankard@AOL.com is an email website, BenTankard.org. And just Google Ben Tankard. You see my big head somewhere.
All right. Well, I want to congratulate you on the wonderful work you've done. You've been all over the world. You have 2 or 3 airplanes. You stay in a big mansion over in Murfreesboro, somewhere like that. Is it Murfreesboro? Well, I'm just going to tell you where it is.
Yeah, come on, find you.
No. I did that when I was in the country. I don't do that no more.
I'm country too, but I'm in a big old mansion eating Vienna sausages. And if you don't watch me, I'll drink the juice on it.
Oh, boy.
But the show is coming back, the Tankard. So thank you guys for watching Thicker Than Water. We dropped the Thicker Than Water title with some other shows. We're calling it the same thing. So the next time you see us, it'll be just the Tankard. Thank you for watching my big blended family. We'll figure it out on TV. We love you guys so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for coming to support this effort. What we are trying to do is get all of the artists that know me well to come and participate so that we can keep gospel music on the air. There is only one gospel show in America now that's on the air, and that's the one that we're doing right here on the Impact Television Network. Believe that. Give Impact a great big hand for that. And in 2 weeks from now, I'm creating a video gospel show that's already been approved. It's coming on every Tuesday at 4 o'clock on Impact Television Network. So those of you who have videos and they're quality-wise, send them to us, and we'll see if we can get them on the air for you. The magic word was quality. Can't do nothing under quality.
Did you know you delivered me from being the dog catcher?
No.
When I did my first record and sent it to you, I was not doing music, but my real job was the dog catcher.
Really?
In Tallahassee, Florida. And I was required to catch 12 dogs a day and bring back to the dog pound. And it'll get about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I only have 4 dogs on the truck. So somebody about to get their dog. So God didn't call me to catch dogs. So I was able to come to the Bobby Jones show. Everything took off. And he delivered me from being a dog.
I appreciate that, Brother Daniel. Thank you so much. God bless you, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing. And we'll keep supporting you.
I honor you.
God bless. Right. Once again, for Brother Ben, thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, say I'm at your strength. to me, do right what I would do wrong. Hey, what if this is when I'm down below, it gives me a clone. Whatever it is, searching all over, couldn't find nobody. I need somebody to tell me. Yeah,
turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in verse number 27. When I got the call yesterday morning to minister for tonight, I immediately began to seek the Lord and try to get the mind of the Lord and for the message. And when I got to church this morning, Papa began to talk about Jesus being in the boat, and the Lord was dealing with me about Jesus being outside of the boat, walking on the water toward the boat. But either way you go, if he's in the boat or if he's outside the boat, that's where you want to be. If he's in the boat, be in the boat. If he's walking on the water, you better get out, start walking on the water just to get to where he is. Because wherever he is, that is the safest place to be. Come on, that's the safest place to be. Wherever he is, that's where I want to be. Verse 27, Matthew chapter 14. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the water. And he, speaking of Jesus, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, I love that word. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And said unto him, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And I want to use for a subject preaching just for a few moments tonight. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are covered by the blood, that you are with us through the storms, through the fire, and through the floods. Lord, I ask that you would anoint us tonight to minister. We ask that you would anoint our ears to hear what you would have us say. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. In wanting and trying to seek the Lord for an introduction for this message here tonight, I was sent a message this morning through Facebook. My sister-in-law sent it to me. It was meant to me, and she was able to send it to me this morning. And even though I'm going to minister on this kind of subject Thursday afternoon of camp meeting, I felt it appropriate to read this little testimony. And it's a good email that I'd like to read to you today. And it was said, Brother Gabriel, I scratch my head of how many youth that you have at your youth ministry. The reason I say this is because your youth ministry doesn't play the modern music that all other youth ministries are playing. I cannot believe how many youth you have that like that style of music that you guys play. Don't tell me that our young people can't tell the difference between what is anointed of the Holy Spirit and what is not anointed but by the Holy Spirit. I think this is amazing. And it shows the rest of the church that we do not need the modern styles and the teaching styles. I see that you teach the Bible. Great observation. I see that you teach the Bible. That's a good thing. And just to add to that, if I don't have the Bible, what can I teach? Nothing. If I don't have the Bible, then I don't need to be up here. I see that you teach the Bible and not foolishness that many youth ministries are teaching. He asked this next question in all caps. Can you please share with me why is it that so many come to your youth ministry? Keep up the awesome work in doing and working for the truth. They asked that question, can you share with me why is it that so many come to your youth ministry? The last time I checked, this still works. The last time I checked, the Word of God did not say that you have to change anything that you've got or change the way you do things to reach the young people of this generation. The last time I read in my Bible, it did not talk about how to have a tattoo-a-thon to bring the young people in to the services. Last time I read, it did not talk about how to have a rap show or a rock concert to entice the young people to come. The last time I checked, the Bible still says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means what worked back then, what worked 4,000 years ago, will work 2,000 years ago, will work 1,000 years ago, will work right now, will work 1,000 years from now, will work 100,000 years from now. It doesn't change. It will work. I want to read something else to answer that young man's question of why so many young people come to Crossfire. I'll say it this way. You will never, 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 never influence the world by trying to be like the world. Did you hear me? I'm going to say that one more time. You will never, capital N, capital E, capital V, capital E, capital R, never influence the world trying to be like the world. I'm not called to be like the world. You're not called to be like the world. God did not save us to act like the world. He did not change us to continue in the lifestyle that we're living. He saved us. He changed us. He brought us out of the world and caused us to be separate. Yeah. We win the world by being like Jesus. We win the world by being like our Savior. During the last youth conference, on Friday night, when the Spirit of God began to move as Joseph and the singers began to sing that little chorus, one more river to cross, one more mountain to climb, one more valley that I've got to go through, leaving my troubles behind. And the Spirit of God began to permeate through this building. Young people, I begin to notice and I begin to watch. They were literally just busting out the seams. They couldn't contain what was going on the inside of them as the Spirit of God began to move. Mm-hmm. And there was a young lady that does not attend our church lives here in Baton Rouge, attends another church, and she just happened to be in the service that Friday night. She turned around to one of our helpers, and she looked, and she said, I have never in my life seen anything like this. I have never in my life felt anything like this. I have never in my life seen young people with a freedom just to worship, to praise. Young lady, I know she's not here, but I hope she may be listening. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the Spirit of God is in this place. It is in our youth ministry. It is in this church. To answer that question, why so many people come, is because they're sick and tired of reaching out to the world to try to meet them or to meet their needs. The church, and I don't mean to get on this, we'll deal with it on camp meeting Thursday afternoon, but I'll say this. Our young people are facing hell itself. Gerald Marino sent me a message a couple of days ago. He works for Coca-Cola. And he goes into the schools, all the public schools in this area, setting up machines, restocking, refilling. He said, I see it. When I go to these schools, it's nothing but darkness. And he said, the church is doing nothing more than bringing that same darkness that's in the world into the church. They're bringing the darkness in. And when you bring darkness in, you shut the light out. You shut Jesus Christ, you move him out. Our young people are facing demon powers like never before. They don't need darkness to try to win them over. They need somebody that will tell them that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Just look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The reason why so many come is because we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ crucified. We preach the power of the Holy Spirit. Every Wednesday we're seeing young people in our Crossfire services being baptized with the Holy Spirit, being refilled with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. In my meetings, I'm seeing more young people come forward to receive the mighty infilling of the Holy Spirit. And whenever I ask them about it, how come you've never received, and their answer is, nobody ever tells us. Nobody ever tells us. Well, now they are. You got somebody that's a young person that will tell them how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Can I still believe in the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'll deal with all of that Thursday afternoon at Kamini, so you better be here. 2:00, you don't want to miss it. We find the disciples in the boat. Jesus had told them strongly to get into the boat to sail back to Capernaum. He had just performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000, not including women and children, with five loaves and two pieces of fish. Now, I'm not a fish person. I don't like fish. I don't like seafood. But if I was there that day and I would have saw that, I would have ate me some seafood. Because I was seeing a miracle performed right before my very eyes. And Jesus had to forcefully tell his disciples to get into the boat, to sail to the other side, to go back to Capernaum. They didn't want to leave. I wouldn't have wanted to leave either. I wanted to stay. I would have wanted to stay right where he was. But as they got into the boat, for a journey that should have taken about an hour or 2 hours tops. As we read, or as you read, and you can read it for yourselves, that the waves begin to toss that little boat about. A turbulence came. If you really want to call it really wasn't much of a storm, but it was a turbulence. It was a disturbance.
Uh-huh.
It began to throw that boat and rock that boat side to side. Papal said this morning that in their situation, Jesus was right there in the boat. Here, Jesus was not in the boat. He was on the mountainside. He was praying. And let me say here, let me just stop here just for a moment. That's very interesting. Well, the Bible says that Jesus prayed. He had to get alone to pray. If Jesus had to pray, where does that leave you and I today? There are scores of people sitting in churches. They no longer pray. They praise the God they no longer pray to.
Uh-huh.
I remember starting out in youth ministry. Was it? Very long in it. Papa called me into his office. He may not remember this, but I do. He said, "Man, let me ask you a question." He said, "I want you to listen to me very carefully, but I'm going to ask you, do you pray?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I don't think you pray enough." And I kind of looked at him. He said, "You've got to understand that the position that you're in, the ministry that you have, you cannot go a day without seeking the face of God for direction. You cannot go a day without trying to find the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You have to know firsthand that relationship. You have to experience that relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You cannot go through one moment without seeking for direction." And I have to be honest, I sat there and I listened for a moment. I walked out and I was walking out. The Spirit of God dealt with me, convicted me to show me point blank that you may be young. I was 24, 23, 24 at the time. He said, "But you still need to seek my face." And every morning, when I start my day, the first thing I do after I drop my kids off at school, I drive over here to the Tucker Building. I park my car and I sit there. And I start my day seeking the face of God. Because if I don't have direction, then I don't know where to go. If I don't have the leading of the Spirit, I don't have anything to say. If I don't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I've got nothing to give our young people. I have to stay on my face before God. Yeah, it won't earn me anything, but it's that relationship. I want that relationship. Jesus went alone to pray. But while he was by himself, and while the disciples were in the boat, being tossed to and fro with the waves and the wind, a turbulence, a disturbance, Jesus never let them out of his sight.
Uh-huh.
That's something there. Jesus never lets you out of his sight. He allows, and I'm not going to go through everything that Papa dealt with this morning, but God allows us to go through trials and tribulations. He allows us to go through situations that where we don't know what else to do, that seems like our life is being rocked back and forth, to and fro, with turbulences, with storms, with trials, with tribulations. But if his eye is on the sparrow, if his eye is on a little sparrow, if his eye is on a little sparrow, then I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's watching over me. He's watching over me. He's watching over you. Eight hours, 9 hours, all night. Can you think all night they struggled? All night they went through this turbulence, this being tossed back and forth. Can you imagine? And I know we all have gone through situations where we feel like this has gone on way too long. God, you cry out, but it seems like there is no answer. We stay, we cry out before God, but it seems like there is just no answer. But at that very last moment, before it seems like our world will be turned completely upside down, all of a sudden, Jesus appears on the scene. Let me say it this way. Even though there may be a little delay in the answering of that prayer, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten about you. Delay does not mean rejection, denial. Just because there's a delay in the situation or in that answered prayer doesn't mean that God looks at you and says, you know what, you're not good enough for me. But he's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.
He may not come when we want it. He may not show up when we want him to, but he will be there right on time. He's never early. He's never late. We may think at times he's late, thinking times, Lord, you should have showed up 25 minutes ago. But there's a reason why God just delayed just for a moment. And I believe this, it is to get you to a place where you come to an end of yourself, where you just give up and say, I can't do this, Lord. I have to hear from you. I tried everything that I can think of, but nothing seems to work. And you come to the end of your rope, and when you're just about to let go, that's when God steps on the scene. And he says, that's what I've been waiting for you just to give up so I can take control of your life. Woo! Randy sang it a couple years ago. Give up and let Jesus. Give up. That's the only type of giving up we should do. And just let Jesus take over, because he knows exactly what we need. At that very last moment. Now, I want you to picture this if you were there. You've been struggling all night with those winds and those waves, fearing for your very life, not knowing what to do. It's dark, and all of a sudden you look out and you see somebody. Not walking on the shore, not waiting for you on the shore, but walking on the midst of the very waters. He's walking straight towards you. What would you think? What would you think if in the midst of that trial, Jesus showed up walking on the water? Some of you may say, well, he's not walking on the water now. Oh, yes, he is. He's still walking on the waters. He's still walking on the waters. He's still walking on those waters. And every place when those waves were crashing down, every place where his foot was, there was calm. Peace in the midst of the storm. Jesus, everywhere he walked, there was peace. There was tranquility. There was nothing. He was walking on top of the water. And they looked, and they grew fearful. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know who it was. But he came just a little bit closer, and he told them, be of good cheer. You know, I love this in the Bible. When you read the Word of God, you'll find those words, fear not, fear not. And if my memory serves me correct, I believe there's 365 instances where that term or words of that effect are used in the Bible. One for every day. Which means this. There's going to be a day, every single day of your life, that Jesus is telling you, fear not. Be of good cheer. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing. Be of good cheer. I've got this. Now, I like this. As a young person, growing up, playing basketball, I remember I think I was a freshman or a sophomore. We were in the midst of a game, and I wasn't really playing. I was sitting on the bench. And one of our best players, he was a great scorer, great shooter. Tight game. We called timeout. We walked over to the bench, and I was getting everybody water. I was about 2'6". Hadn't grown much. Freshman, I think it was. Playing in a hostile environment. We called timeout. They're walking over to the bench, and the best player on our team walks right in the middle of the huddle. He says, I got this. We're down by 1 point. He says, I got this. Coach, don't worry about anything. I got this. Just give me the ball. I got this. Don't worry about it. I got it. So coach said, you heard the man. Go after it. He got the ball. Told his opposing player, I got this. Shot it. Went in. Told the opposing player that was guarding after the shot went in, I told you, I got this. Woo. Jesus Christ is telling you, I got this. He's telling you right now, I got this. He already told the devil, devil, you can try what you want. I got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this under control. My favorite story. I'm going to try to hurry with this. I was in Boston. Dad was in a meeting, and me and my brother went with him. And there was Springfield, and we were flying out of Boston, and in walked the former head coach of the Boston Celtics. Casey Jones. And my eyes got this big. I looked at him. I'm like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Dad said, go over there and talk to him. I'm like, what am I going to say to him? So I walked over there and I said, Coach, do you mind if I talk to you for a moment? He sat there and said, what's your name? I said, my name is Gabriel. He said, sit on down. So he started talking. And I asked him, I said, you got to tell me a moment when you were coaching the Celtics, about Larry Bird. You coached him, one of the greatest players ever played. You got to show me something. Tell me something about him. He said, all right, I'll tell you this. He said, we were in the playoffs against the Detroit Pistons, and I believe it was 87, 86, something like that. We were down by 1 point. We called a timeout, and I was about to draw up a play, and Larry Bird walked in the midst of the huddle, and he said, Coach, just give me the ball. I'm going to score. We're going to win this game. We're going to go home. He said, okay, I'm going to draw you up. He said, no, don't draw me up a play. I already have the play in mind. I already have the play. Just give me the ball. Just let me score. We're going to go home. He tried to draw up a play. He said, no, you don't understand. I already have the play already mapped out in my head. I know what I'm going to do. He said, all right, give him the ball. He walked over, Larry Bird did, to the opposing team in the middle of their huddle. They're sitting around trying to get up a defensive scheme. He said, boys, I'm just going to let you know right now. You see this spot? Pointed it to him. He said, I'm going to catch the ball right there. I'm going to shoot the ball right there. And I'm going to score right there. And I'm going to send you home from right there. He told them what he was going to do. He flat told them what he was going to do. That's cocky. For an athlete. They walked out of the huddle, guarded him on that spot, moved around a second, came to that spot, caught the ball, shot it from that spot, There's a lesson in this. Jesus. Let me change that. God the Father already had the answer mapped out. He already had the answer mapped out. And he told it before the foundations of the world. I would send my son to redeem humanity with the shedding of his blood. And devil, there's nothing that you can do about it. I've got it mapped out. I'm going to win. The game is over. I like that. It's in this book. From the very beginning, God said this is the plan. Before the cross, he said this is the plan. This is the plan. This is the plan. You want to know why young people come to Crossfire? Because of God's redemption plan. We follow God's redemption plan. It was mapped out. And on Calvary, 2,000 years ago, in the face of the devil, in the face of demons, in the face of sickness, in the face of death, in the face of everything that's bad and unholy, Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the dead 3 days later. Mapped out. Victorious.
Yes,
victorious.
Yes,
victorious.
Yes, sir.
Victorious.
Yes, sir.
Over the world, the flesh, and the devil. He sent them home packing.
Uh-oh.
Now, I got 5 minutes. We have Sherathon in the morning. So I don't want to go past his bedtime. I'm trying. He comes walking out on the water and said, be of good cheer, it is. Be not afraid. And as Jesus stood there, and I don't have time to go through all, let me say this. In the midst of your storm, you don't have to be afraid. Even though fear comes upon us at times, every one of us suffer from fear at times.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus has told us, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm with you. As Robin sang, through the fire, through the flood, you are covered by his blood. Peter. Well, everyone else stayed in the boat. Peter realized that where Jesus is, that's where I want to be. He said, Lord, since it's you, just tell me to come. And I'm on my way. And of course, his answer was, come. Come on. And as much as we like to ridicule Peter at times, Peter did something that nobody else did. He got out of the boat. And he started walking on the water. His eyes were on Jesus, and he started walking on. You see, that's the problem with the modern church today, and that's the problem with most youth groups today. They're not offering Jesus. They're offering a pseudo-Jesus. Let me just change that. They're not offering anything. Well, let me change it. They're offering Satan. They're offering demon spirits. They're offering death. They're offering destruction. They're offering darkness. No wonder there's very many young people outside being saved. Now, he got out of the boat and started walking on the water, but the moment that his eyes turned away from Christ, he began to sink. He turned his eyes away from the problem solver to the problem at hand. I will be the first to admit that I have turned my eyes away from Christ, who can meet every need. And I begin to focus on the problem that I'm facing at that very moment. And when that happens, we begin to sink. We begin to fall down. We begin to look out. And those problems begin to crowd around us and beat us down. But it was in the midst of that moment that Peter said, Lord, rescue me. Save me. That is a prayer that he will always answer. That is a prayer that Jesus will always answer. The Bible says immediately, as he began to sink, Jesus reached down his hand, picked him up. What people miss at times is Peter walked on the water to get to Jesus. He sank. But him and Jesus walked back on the water to get into the boat. And the moment that he walked into the boat, the moment that Jesus put his foot in the boat, the whole thing stopped. I mean, the whole mess just stopped. And what would take 8 or 9 hours, what would take years without Jesus, would take a second with him. 1 second in the very presence of God can solve all your problems. I can't solve them. You can't solve them. Man can't solve them. But 1 second in the very presence of Jesus can meet every single need. Now, I know this was a little short message as time is running out. But I want to encourage you tonight. With everyone that has gone through a trial or going through a trial or tribulation, look up. Jesus is there. Jesus is there. I want to share this little story real quick. I got a message a couple of days ago. I believe it was Friday. I want to say it was Friday. From my mother. She sent me a message about my cousin, my mom's brother's daughter. They live in Georgia. She has three kids, but her oldest, little Liam, is about 8 years of age. And he suffers from severe sickness. To be honest, I really don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know this, that he had a seizure a couple of days ago and was unconscious. And they said that he would be unconscious all the way through the weekend. He's about 8 years of age. They're facing, that family's facing a storm. They're facing a situation that really nobody knows what to do. But we serve a God that knows exactly what to do. And I'm believing God that he's going to touch little Liam, that he's going to heal him, that he would be a miracle to that family and to those that are around. And I want to close out with this. Singers, musicians, make your way back up. Just words to a song. I know you're looking for an answer, searching for some hope to hold. Empty hands leave you waiting, praying for a miracle. But Jesus hears every cry. He sees the walls that we can't climb. And he will heal your hurting soul and lead you safely to his home. When every mountain seems too high and every river looks too wide. When my dreams are lost at sea, Jesus rescues me. My faith is strong and carries me, though sometimes weak, I still believe. My life is built on this desire through the flood and through the fire, Jesus rescues me. At that moment, Jesus rescued Peter. And he's willing to rescue you. All you've got to do is just reach out. All you've got to do is just reach out. And he'll never, ever turn you away. I want you to stand your feet tonight. To close this service, I want us to gather around this front. As they sing this song for this altar call, I want, if you've got a need, if you've got a problem, no matter where you are, if you're here, if you're watching by television, listening by radio, if there is a trial or tribulation that you're facing, I want you to understand there's one that can rescue you. There's one that can pull you out. There's one that can pull you through, and his name is Jesus. As they sing it right now, I want to... That's it. I just want us right now. Just stretch forth your hands right now tonight. And I want you to cry out, Lord, rescue me. No matter where you are, if you're watching, you can say the same time. He carries me.
Thank you.